Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another devotional time. We are in 1 John chapter 1. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Friday morning as we are continuing our devotional study of this wonderful book of 1 John. 1 John is a letter, sermon letter, written by the Apostle John, probably after he wrote the Gospel of John and before he wrote Revelation. We have three letters from him, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 2nd and 3rd John read much more like traditional letters, whereas 1st John reads more like a sermon. Let's pray, and then we're going to dig in today and take a close look at chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, which is one of the most important passages in all the Bible on understanding what it means to live righteously, what it means to sin and to be forgiven, to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. There's a lot packed in to these six verses this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and for the gift of life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to come and to offer his life for us on the cross so that we can be forgiven. We can have fellowship with you. We can have fellowship with one another. We can be cleansed of all sin and unrighteousness. We can walk in the light of God. Teach us this morning from this key passage what all these things mean. Write them on our hearts, Father, that we might live them to your glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'll go ahead and read the whole of the first chapter of 1 John, and then we'll go back and focus in on verses 5 through 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a powerful statement. If you say you have not sinned, his word is not in you. You're calling God a liar. Wow, we've got a lot packed into these six verses. There's so much for us to look at. Need another sip of coffee to dig in. So, earlier in the very opening of this sermon letter, John says that what he's heard and seen, he testifies and proclaims to you. Now, he's getting into exactly what he proclaims. This is the message we heard from him and proclaimed to you. So what did John hear from Jesus? What did he see in Jesus? And what is he now proclaiming to us? It begins with God. So oftentimes we try to understand our Christian lives, the life of faith, the life of being a disciple of Jesus, and we try to understand it starting with ourselves as our starting point and our reference point. John doesn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. You know, Jesus told these parables, and his parable said, the kingdom of God is like, and he would be revealing what God is like. And so here, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. We're going to see three hugely significant little simple words used in 1 John that are going to be monumental for understanding what John is telling us, what God is telling us through this book of his word. Light, life, and love. Three little words, I'll start with L. Light, life, and love. God is light. In him is life. God is love. What does it mean when John says God is light and in him is no darkness at all? Light primarily carries with it the image, the meaning, the significance of truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. So you notice the contrast in verse 6, that if we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So the contrast of darkness is deception and unrighteousness, or not practicing the truth. Or you could say light is truth, and then truth lived and applied to our lives. It is all that has integrity, all that has in it purity. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God has never done anything wrong. God has never thought anything wrong. God has never intended anything wrong. And that's one of the key ways that we, you know, if you're talking to an unbeliever, in our culture, it's become kind of fashionable to accuse God of wrongdoing. They're not talking about the true God of the Bible. If they're talking about a God who is selfish or petty or cruel or unjust, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so if, we now have a series of five if statements. You see that in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, and verse 10. If. So we start with this premise, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. This is the sin of hypocrisy. If you say you have fellowship with God, who is light, and yet you are walking in darkness, you're living according to a lie, you're not practicing the truth in your life, there is no sincerity to your profession. You lie and you do not practice the truth. There's no integrity in a life that says, I have fellowship with God, and yet is a life that is consumed by, driven by, walking in deception, lies, and sin. Unfortunately, we don't have to look too far to see this at work within the church and among God's people. People who use God as a way to get money, or fame, or success, or notoriety, or followers, pump up their own ego. That's just a lie. And it's hypocrisy. If we walk in the light, verse 7 then says, is the contrast. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, two things, so powerful, two things. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we truly believe in God and we're living a life of honest and sincere faith, not a life of perfection, we'll get to that in a minute. He's not talking about a life of perfection, but he's talking about we truly believe in God and we're living a life of sincere faith in God and striving after obedience to God, then we have fellowship with one another. Because if we belong to God, we belong to one another. Everyone who belongs to God together, we're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in this together. One of the things 1 John is going to challenge us as modern day Americans is that there's no solo Christianity. If you are called to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called to belong to his people, to have fellowship with one another. Koinonia, partnership. We're in it together, and in it togetherness with one another. That's what we have. Doesn't mean we get together and share meals, although that is part of it, but we have an in it togetherness, a withness with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, which we'll get to in just a minute when we look at verse 9. But there's two things: fellowship with one another and cleansing from sin. Now, some of those who say they're walking in the light might say, well, I don't need to be cleansed of any sin anymore because I don't sin anymore because I walk in the light. I'm not walking in the darkness. I'm not living according to a lie. I'm walking in the light. Therefore, I don't sin. Mm-mm. Wrong. So, verse 6 is guarding us against the sin of hypocrisy, but verse 8 is guarding us against the sin of perfectionism, of a self-deceived perfectionism. Anyone who thinks they don't sin is self-deceived and does not know the truth of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's a powerful statement, but it's true. It's as true and obvious. The light of God, one of the things the truth and righteousness of God does is it exposes. It exposes sin. It exposes that which was covered up by the darkness. You get up in the morning. You roll out of bed. This is my experience anyway. I get up in the morning. I roll out of bed. I go make the coffee. You know, drink some water. I go into the bathroom. I turn on the light. And I look in the mirror. And I see the truth. Now, I might have deceived myself into thinking that my hair was fine. It wasn't messed up. You know, I'm not getting older. You know, I'm still 25 years old in my mind, right? But you turn on the light and you look in the mirror and you see the truth. The truth of God and His Word exposes our sin and shows us the depth of our depravity. And it really is as simple as this. What are the two great commandments that Jesus told us? The two most important commandments. The first is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So just simplify it down to these two commandments, which is really one commandment, the command to love, which John's going to get into. It's a very important commandment. It's the commandment we have to keep, to love God and to love others. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. How are you doing at keeping those? If you're honest, not well at all. We don't love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hold back. We are weak in our love toward God. We're inconsistent in our love toward God. We are half-hearted and selfish in our love toward God. And do we love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves? We might do nice things for our neighbors every once in a while, but do we love them as much as we love ourselves? Are we as committed to their well-being as we are to our own? No. So that shows our sin. That exposes our sin. So what do? If the light of God comes and exposes our sin, we lack love. We have broken God's law. We continually break God's law by continually lacking love for God and for one another. Well, if we confess our sins, we confess them openly to God, we admit our wrongdoing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful verse. One of the most wonderful verses in all of Scripture, certainly worth memorizing, hiding in your heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I think it's very interesting that John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. Not merciful and kind to forgive, but faithful and just. Those are not necessarily the words that we would pick right off the top of our head. We would pick merciful, we would pick gracious, we would pick kind, we would pick, you know, forgiving. But John says faithful and just. Faithful means He always keeps His promises, and just means He always does what is right. And again, this is being connected back to verse 5, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. part of God being light is that God is always faithful. He never fails to keep his promises. And another part of God being light is that God is always just. He never fails to do what is right, to uphold justice. Well, how is it that that makes him always willing and ready and able to forgive us? It's because the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Both of these verses will take us back to the cross. It's only because Jesus laid down his life willingly as the sacrificial atonement for our sins. It's only because Jesus laid down his life in love that we can be cleansed and forgiven. Forgiven of all of our sin, that's the guilt. Cleansed of all of our unrighteousness, that's the pollution. Sin brings two things into our lives, guilt and pollution. And the blood of Jesus is the double cure that takes care of both of them. And if Jesus has offered his blood for us, if Jesus has given his life for us to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of our unrighteousness, then God would be unfaithful, God would be unjust to not forgive us if we confess. So if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ and the faithfulness of our God are the guarantee that whenever we confess our sins to God, openly, not hypocritically, but openly and honestly confess our sins to God, he forgives the guilt and he cleanses the pollution of our sin. And then John closes this opening section by saying, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Verse 8 said, we deceive ourselves, but this is even worse. We make God a liar because God has said everyone sins. So we need to confess our sins. And because of Jesus and the cross, we can be, we will be. It is promised, it is guaranteed by the faithfulness and justice of God that we will be forgiven. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. There is no shadow of turning, as James says. You never waver, you never hesitate, you never fall short of your own holiness. You are the light of truth and righteousness and goodness and faithfulness. You are perfection of perfections. And that's our hope. It's our hope that we can walk in your light, because we have no light of our own. It's our hope that we can walk in your light and we can have fellowship with one another, and that the blood of your son Jesus will cleanse us of all sin. It's our hope that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because you will not let Jesus have died in vain. You will not allow it that your son would have died in vain. You will make sure that we receive the forgiveness, we receive the cleansing that he purchased for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying to save us and for rising again to give us eternal life. Help us to walk by faith in you. Help us to walk in the light and not slink back into the shadows of hypocrisy and self-deceit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, 1 John has many, many treasures for us in the weeks to come. I hope you'll join us next week again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings at 8:30. And if you're in Harford County and looking for a place to worship this Sunday morning at 10:30, we'll be at the Newport Terrace Knights of Columbus building on Newport Drive. You can just go to our website, foresthillpca.org, and look up directions on how to get there. We would love to worship with you if you need a place to worship and you're in the Harford County area. So the Lord's Day is coming, and hope to see you there. Have a blessed day in the Lord today.